The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. Good morning. My name is Avril, and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. Now that some parts of Victoria have been put back into stage 3 restrictions, it definitely does not look as though we will be returning to the church building anytime soon. So it's reassuring to know that we are gathered together through Jesus, even when we are physically separated. I hope that this service will offer you comfort as you participate in it, however you choose to do that. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community, represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome, and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. The world belongs to God, the earth and all its peoples. Love and peace come together. Justice and peace join hands. How good and how lovely it is to live together in unity. If the Lord's disciples kept silent, these stones would shout aloud. Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying a heavy load, and I will give you rest." Let us make our confession to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, you love us, but we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walk away from neighbours in need, wrapped up in our own concerns. We have gone along with evil, with prejudice, warfare, and greed. God our Father, help us to face up to ourselves, so that as you move toward us in mercy, we may repent, turn to you, and receive forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the best of all. When we are empty, God fills us. When we are disheartened, God is compassionate. When we are wounded, God brings healing. When we confess our sin, God forgives. In Christ, through Christ, and because of Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Today's Bible reading comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, from chapter 7, verses 15 to 25a. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. The picture book today is called Sometimes I'm Bombaloo by Rachel Vale. My name is Katie Honours, and I'm a really good kid. I smile a lot because I'm usually happy, and I give excellent hugs. I brush my teeth without being reminded. Too much. I can Velcro my own shoes and put my toys where they belong, including the ones with 60-48 small pieces. I remember about using my napkin and the magic word. I don't whine or stamp my feet or growl, even if my brother knocks down my beautiful castle I just built and I told him not to touch it and I'll never be able to get it to look that good again. Sometimes I even hold in the tears and the pushes and just say, "That's okay." But sometimes I'm Bombaloo. I show my teeth and make fierce noises. My face scrunches like a monster. I use my feet and my fists instead of my words. My toys end up all over the floor, and so does my brother. There is a lot of yelling when I'm Bombaloo, and some pointing at my bed. I have to go take some time for myself and think about it. But when I'm Bombaloo, I don't want to think about it. I want to smash stuff. I can come out when I'm ready to control myself and say I'm sorry to my brother. But while I'm Bombaloo, I'm not sorry. I'm angry. I hate everybody and everything, even my dog Vanilla and my penny collection and my blankie and all of the clothes in my drawers. On their way out of the drawer, a pair of underpants lands on my head, like a hat. When I laugh, I'm Katie Honors again. And I'm sorry and a little frightened. It's scary being Bombaloo. My mother knows that. She hugs me and helps me clean up the mess Bombaloo made. And after some sorries and kisses for my brother, we build a new castle together. The end. Before I went to theological college, I was very anti the Apostle Paul. For me, Paul could be summed up by, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord," and, "Let a woman learn in silence with full submission. I permit no woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She is to keep silent." So you can understand that if that is what I thought of when I thought of the Apostle Paul, I had serious issues with him. But at theological college, I wasn't just introduced to the idea that Paul himself did not write the pastoral epistles that those come from. I was also introduced to the Paul who wrote the letter to the Romans. And in Romans, I find an Apostle Paul who just seems to get it. When we hear Paul say today, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate," and "for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do," all I can do is nod my head in sad agreement. Paul is absolutely right. This is part of what it means to be human. We know what we should do, but we don't do it. We want to be good and obey God's law, but we find that we can't. Last week, I talked about us being enough, being made in the image of God, the beloved children of God, those for whom Jesus demonstrated his love by dying. Today's reading from Paul, with its emphasis on our failure to live as we want, might seem to contradict that message of enoughness. But this is where I want to bring in the distinction between shame and guilt. And I'm again going to quote from Brené Brown, whose work I quoted from last week. Her definition of shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of acceptance and belonging. Shame is different from guilt. Shame says, "I am bad," while guilt says, "I did a bad thing." Shame is about who we are, while guilt is about our behaviour. We can apologise for something we did wrong, but we can't apologise for something that we are. The reason that shame is so scary, Brené says, is because it unravels our connection to others. As human beings, we are made for connection. In Christian terms, we are made in the image of the God who is love, the God who in God's very self is community. We are made for relationship. And as Brené writes, connection is critical because we all have the basic need to feel accepted and to believe that we belong and are valued for who we are. Shame severs that connection. It tells us that we do not deserve to be loved and accepted. So if we keep that distinction between shame and guilt in mind as we read today's Bible passage, we can see that Paul is talking about guilt, about his behaviour, his actions, not about his identity. In fact, Paul makes a complete distinction between who he is and what he does. Who Paul is the person who wants to do good, the person who delights in the law of God in his inmost self. What he does, though, is evil and sinful. From my 21st century and female perspective, I don't think that Paul's complete split between his mind and his body, and when he's talking about his flesh and his members, he's talking about his body. I don't think that split is healthy. I know that women in particular need to love our bodies, not to dismiss them as something separate from us. But there is no doubt that in this reading, Paul is distinguishing between who he is and what he does. He's expressing guilt, not shame. And Paul is able to do this because he knows who he truly is. He is someone for whom Christ died. Today's passage ends, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And in the very next chapter of this letter, Paul writes, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is who we are. We are the people loved by God. We may do things that are wrong, but we ourselves aren't wrong. As I repeated so many times last week, who we are is the beloved children of God. There's a section near the end of this book by Brené Brown on spirituality, and of course I immediately went to that section because I wanted to see what she said about churches and about whether we contribute to shame. And what she writes is that spirituality slash faith slash religion are sources of shame for some women and sources of resilience for others. In this first book, she's looking primarily at women. What Brené wrote, which I found fascinating, is that women who talked about feeling shame used the words church and religion more. And the women who talked about their faith as a source of resilience used the terms faith, spirituality, and beliefs more. But the distinction wasn't between those who go to church and those who don't. She says that at least half the women who use the terms faith, spirituality, and belief, the terms that offered resilience, attended church and were members of an organised religion. So churches can be places that tell us we are not good enough and that contribute to our shame, or they can be places that tell us that we are good enough, although as human beings we often, sometimes, in my case often, do things for which we need to apologise. You'll know by now that I think it's the second message that is the gospel. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Among the heavy burdens that Jesus takes from our shoulders are the expectations that we must be perfect or that we are not worthy of love. We can rest our souls in the knowledge that God loves us, even when we, like Paul, do not do the good we want, but instead do the evil we do not want. Even then, we are still God's beloved. And given that, it would be quite rude of us to argue with God and tell God that we aren't worthy of being loved. So, as Paul says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen.
Come as you are.
God, our prayers for the church and for the world. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Continue to surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Continue to give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness we need as isolation stretches on. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those who have kept working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, those who found new ways of working from home, those who are now slowly and carefully returning to work. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, and for those whose homes have not been safe places during this time of lockdown. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, and for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton. As we begin the steps that will take us out of lockdown, give them your wisdom and help them to make the best decisions, not the ones that are politically expedient. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother, and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
When I, the perfect child of God, whose faith was deep and love was broad, not doubtful, guilty, worn, nor flawed, I gladly followed Jesus. But I'm the child of what I've been, estranged by much I've done and seen, afraid to show the love I mean, unfit to follow Jesus. Yet God, who knows me first and last, who's seen my best, my worst, my past, has shown his love intense and vast by meeting me in Jesus. For Christ, though killed at Calvary, by sins like mine and folk like me, has risen, forgiven, and set me free, made fit to follow Jesus. Then sprinkle water on my brow, as in this place I make my vow, to own and love my Saviour now, and give myself to Jesus. God grant me what I still require, that I in others might inspire the hidden hope, the deep desire to love and follow Jesus. God grant me what I still require, that I in others might inspire the hidden hope, the deep desire to love and follow Jesus. Thank you.
And now the blessing of the Holy Trinity of love be upon you. May God's love remind you of who you are. May Christ Jesus rescue you when you do wrong. And may the Holy Spirit lift all your burdens and give you rest. Amen.